All right, we're talking right now about the Supreme Court decision that came out yesterday. This is Bostock versus Clayton County. It is a reinterpretation of Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which by law forbids an employer, for example, from discriminating against people on the basis of their race and sex. These are two of the areas that are addressed in that issue or in that section. The problem with the ruling yesterday is that the majority view, it reinterpreted the word sex to mean sexual orientation. And so this is being hailed as a landmark civil rights decision on the part of the Supreme Court by those on the left because they see it as a kind of victory for the rights of transgender people and others who might fit into the gender ideology spectrum in some way. And to some extent, it really is a victory, that's for sure. But it's a victory that was ill-founded, if you ask me, and it creates more problems than it will resolve. And it's not actually, if you ask me, addressing a form of discrimination that the 1964 Civil Rights Act intended to address. So I want to emphasize one more time that I am completely on board with, I completely support the just efforts to eliminate discrimination. I don't want to see anyone being discriminated against. But on the other hand, remember that we do discriminate in many different ways. So we discriminate, for example, against airline pilots who show up to work to drive the airplane drunk. We discriminate. We say, I'm sorry, you can't do that. You're not allowed to get in the airplane and fly 250 people from one place to another. We discriminate against people who maybe want to go into the military, but they don't have the upper body strength to lift the requisite amount of weight when they take their physical. I'm sorry, if you're not strong enough to lift 40 pounds, you don't qualify. We discriminate in many different ways. We discriminate against people who want to be physicians, but they haven't gone to medical school, or they failed medical school, or they have a problem with malpractice. I mean, there are many different things that can happen. Unfortunate, but let's not forget that we discriminate all the time. We discriminate against discrimination. There are people out there who are racists, and we discriminate, rightly so, against them. We say we do not accept your worldview that one racial group is inferior to another racial group, whatever that may be. We are always discriminating. We have to discriminate. You discriminate against what food you put into your body. There are certain foods, I'm quite certain, that you won't eat because you don't want to gain weight or you don't want the negative side effects. So you discriminate and you say, that's not good for me. I'm not going to have that. This is good for me. So the word discrimination, first of all, must be contextualized to understand that there are gross forms of discrimination. There are unjust forms of indiscrimination that we should stand against. And we do well to enact laws and to have Supreme Court decisions that reflect our bias against those injustices. And I don't want anyone to think that I'm in favor in some way of denying people justice. It's just exactly the opposite. So because of the way this decision was rendered and the basis of the decision, which is a reinterpretation of the word sex, we got a problem on our hands. This is a hidden meaning, as it's explained by Hammer in the New York Post. He says, this isn't textualism. It's ivory tower liberalism. It's completely at odds with the Supreme Court's longstanding dictum that Congress, for example, in drafting statutes, won't inscribe a hidden meaning in otherwise plain language. As Justice Samuel Alito sharply noted in his dissent, sex in 1964 meant biological sex. Man and woman, not orientation, and certainly not subjective gender identity. So this is where these things are going. I want to share with you now some of the ways in which this is going to affect you and your family. And please understand that this is only just the beginning. What we saw with this ruling here is only just the beginning of where things are going to go. So a few things. This is going to affect you and your family when it comes to things like restrooms. So in the issue of discrimination, as it was taken up in this court case, it had to do primarily with employment, but you'll be able to see how this will play out in many different areas. So it's going to give further steam, further impetus, I should say, to the companies and schools and government agencies and things that say that you should have complete freedom if you are a boy or man and you identify as a woman to be able to play on sports teams. So women's soccer, if you are into that, my daughter Rebecca is super into women's soccer. Well, you're going to see men playing in women's soccer who identify as women, stronger, faster. What if you have a whole team of men who consider themselves women and they win all the games because they're stronger and faster than the women? Is that fair? Is that just? What about down to the high school level? Your daughter wants to play a high school sport and she's constantly getting destroyed in the track meets and the whatever the sport may be because she's competing against a boy who has grown his hair long and identifies as a woman. So he's winning all these things. And now some people are jumping up and down and saying, you can't say he because he's a transgender female. No, men are not women and women are not men. And it doesn't matter how, Cyrus, get the this is an Apple thing for me, please, if you would. Just grab that, if you would, please. CNN, I know you know what I'm talking about. If you could get that, this is an Apple. I want to play it for you. CNN gave us a great gift when it did this little bit. They thought they were doing something really great, and it kind of backfired on them. Let me know when you have it ready, please, Cyrus. Point being is that whether it's in sports or it's in school, and you have your daughter or your son who wants to play sports and they finish up, they got to go to the shower, they're going to have to shower with people of the opposite sex because this is going to be enforced. Because why? Because it's now considered unconstitutional to do so. Now, there's plenty more I want to get into, but why don't we just take a pause and listen to this brief, I don't know, it's not even 30 seconds. This is something that CNN concocted. And it completely backfired on them because it exposes the silliness of people thinking just because somebody says, I'm a woman, I'm a woman, I'm a woman, means that he's actually a woman. Take a listen.
This is an apple. Some people might try to tell you that it's a banana. They might scream banana, banana, banana over and over and over again. They might put banana in all caps. You might even start to believe that this is a banana. But it's not. This is an apple.
CNN is right for the wrong reasons, but they're right about this. This is an apple. This is a man. And you can put it in all caps and say, this is a woman. You can say it over and over and over again. This is a woman. This is a woman. It doesn't make it true. But the ruling now is going to put all of these things on their head. Now, there's more I want to get to. I'll just share with you a couple of brief things, and then we'll go to the phones. The number, by the way, is 888-914-9149. PJ Media's got this morning. Tyler O'Neill is the author. He says, on Monday, the U.S. Supreme Court unilaterally redefined sex in federal law to mean sexual orientation and gender identity. In Bostock versus Clayton County, a 6-3 majority ruled that discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity violates Title VII's prohibition on sex discrimination. While a technical error has made the ruling inaccessible, the ruling represents an utter rejection of the original meaning of the term sex in federal law, twisting it to mean something Congress cannot have intended in 1964. Justice Neil Gorsuch, long considered an originalist, wrote the court's opinion, with which left-leaning Justices Breyer, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Elena Kagan, Sonia Sotomayor joined, as well as Chief Justice John Roberts, while Justices Samuel Alito and Clarence Thomas and Brett Kavanaugh dissented. Warning signs about Gorsuch's opinion on LGBT issues emerged in January of 2017. Gorsuch attended St. John's Episcopal Church in Boulder, Colorado. The church's rector, Susan Woodward Springer, attended the Women's March in 2017. Gorsuch served as an usher in that church. The Episcopalian Church has suffered, has shifted hard left in recent years, abandoning the central claims of the Bible on issues like Jesus' bodily resurrection, but also embracing LGBT ideology. This involves rejecting the Bible's clear condemnation of homosexual activity as sinful and its clear statement that God made humans male and female. And if you're wondering, where is that clear statement? It's in Matthew chapter 19, where Jesus is discussing divorce. And he says, in the beginning, God made them male and female, man and woman. This is why a man leaves his family and clings to his wife, and the two become one flesh. And what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So Jesus gives that definition, that primordial model, the paradigm by God himself for marriage, which is male and female. And if anyone says, well, Jesus never said anything, he sure did. Go to Matthew 19. The following quote may be attributed to Alliance Defending Freedom Vice President of Appellate Advocacy, John Birch. He says, Americans must be able to rely on what the law says, and it is disappointing that a majority of the justices were unwilling to affirm that common sense principle. Redefining the word sex to mean gender identity will create chaos and enormous unfairness for women and girls in athletics, women's shelters, and many other contexts. Pause on this for a second. Imagine you're a battered woman, or you're a single mom, and you and your child are trying to get some respite from a violent boyfriend or violent husband, and you just need a place where you can just rest and get better and get your bearings to figure out what you're going to do next. Well, this ruling would mean that a man who identifies as a woman could move into the women's shelter that you live in. And if it's a dormitory setting, could be in the same room as you and your child, or next door. Do you see the possible implications here? And people say, well, that never happens. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. Women's dressing rooms in department stores. Think of all the times that children have been molested. And these are just the times when people are caught. The depredations, including death, that is inflicted on vulnerable women and children by men who gain access to them in places like bathrooms, changing rooms, etc. Carrie Severino also condemned the ruling. Justice Scalia would be disappointed, she said, that his successor has bungled textualism so badly today for the sake of appealing to college campuses and editorial boards. This was not judging, this was legislating. A brute force attack on our constitutional system, she tweeted. Today, six judges acting as advocates opted to rewrite the statute themselves, short-circuiting the legislative process, and in the process denying people a decision that should be theirs to make on a major issue. Have no doubts about what happened. This was the hijacking of textualism, meaning, just to insert this, reading the text on its own merits and interpreting it as to what it meant at the time. Have no doubts about what happened today. This was the hijacking of textualism. You can't redefine the meaning of words themselves and still be doing textualism. This is an ominous sign for anyone concerned about the future of representative democracy. Now, let me share with you some excerpts from Justice Alito's dissent from this decision. And this, by the way, is carried by National Review. We'll get a link to this for you. Briefs filed by a wide range of religious groups, Christian, Jewish, and Muslim, expressed deep concern that the position now adopted by the court, quote, and this is from Justice Alito, will trigger open conflict with faith-based employment practices of numerous churches, synagogues, mosques, and other religious institutions. They argue that religious organizations need employees who actually live the faith. So let's pause there. Let's say that and we're going to put the words in quote marks as necessary. Let's say that a transgender woman decides that she wants to be employed at your child's grammar school or at the local parish. And the person says, you know, this is my lifestyle and you can't stop me from being hired here. You can't discriminate against me. And Father McGillicuddy says, well, we can't hire you because you don't uphold the Catholic teaching on sexual morality. And furthermore, how are we going to explain to our first graders that, you know, this man is dressed like a woman? We don't want to have to do that. It doesn't fit with our deeply held moral principles. I'm sorry, we can't hire you. With this new law, Father McGillicuddy has no choice. With the ruling, I should say, not the law. Father McGillicuddy would have no choice. You see where this can lead to. This problem is perhaps most acute when it comes to the employment of teachers. A school standard for its faculty communicate a particular way of life to its students, and a violation by the faculty of those precepts may undermine the school's moral teaching. Thus, if a religious school teaches that sex outside marriage or sex reassignment procedures are immoral, the message may be lost if the school employs a teacher who is in a same-sex relationship or has undergone or is undergoing sex reassignment. Now, in this article carried in National Review, you see the statements by Justice Alito interspersed with commentary by the author of the article, John McCormick. But there is a link to the entire dissenting opinion if you want to read that verbatim. At least some teachers and applicants for teaching positions may be blocked from recovering on such claims by the ministerial exemption recognized by Hosanna Tabor Evangelical Lutheran Church and School versus EEOC, two cases now pending before the Supreme Court that present the question whether teachers who provide religious instruction can be considered to be ministers. But even if teachers with those responsibilities qualify, what about other very visible school employees who may not qualify for the ministerial exception? Provisions of Title VII provide exemptions, for certain religious organizations and schools with respect to the employment of individuals of a particular religion to perform work connected with carrying it out. So this gets into the issue of religious liberty in a big, big way, where churches will not be free to say, we're not going to hire somebody who completely undermines, both ideologically and in his own lifestyle or her own lifestyle, the things that we're trying to teach. Their hands will be tied. Healthcare. Healthcare benefits may emerge as an intense battleground under the court's ruling or holding. Transgender employees have brought suit under Title VII to challenge employer-provided health insurance plans that do not cover costly sex reassignment surgery. Similar claims have been brought under the Affordable Care Act, which broadly prohibits sex discrimination in the provision of healthcare. Such claims present difficult religious liberty issues because some employers and healthcare providers have strong religious objections to sex reassignment procedures, and therefore requiring them to pay for or to perform these procedures will have severe impact on their ability to honor their deeply held religious beliefs. You can see the outline of the religious freedom issue here, religious liberty. Justice Gorsuch wrote in his majority opinion that how, quote, doctrines protecting religious liberty interact with Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act are questions for future cases. Well, you sure bet they are. Separately, the employers fear that complying with Title VII's requirement in cases like ours may require some employers to violate their religious convictions. We are also deeply concerned with preserving the promise of the free exercise of religion enshrined in our Constitution. That guarantee lies at the heart of our pluralistic society. Now, there's religious liberty. There's your personal safety issues. There's the issue of unfair competition. There's the issue of people who may insist upon being employed in places where the things that they stand for are contrary. What if the Supreme Court, to use a parallel, had redefined a term to mean that if somebody was an avowed, I don't know, pick something that you find objectionable. Just to use an analogy, let's pick racism. And if churches or schools or hospitals or what have you were required by a Supreme Court ruling that if somebody is avowedly, this is how they identify as a racist, publicly, KKK, what have you, that is now something that you would have to employ somebody. You could not discriminate against that person, even though you strongly object to that way of living, that way of looking at things. It's a worldview issue. So you would then be in a position where you would have to hire somebody, or at least you couldn't not hire somebody on the basis of that issue.